White, J.E. White, Emma. Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, August 19, 1895. Dear children, Edson and Emma, I have written you two letters, one to go in the mail last month and one this, but it is not possible to get these letters copied, and as we shall make them into a pamphlet as soon as Fanny shall be able to do her part in editing, I can send them then. But the next mail, leaving Tuesday, is the Vancouver line, and will not reach you, I think, much sooner than the mail that goes in 2 weeks from now. I cannot send matter that I wish to put in pamphlet form without copying. So if you will be patient a little while, I will send you two important letters. It is only by the special blessing of God that I am able to write you at all. My head has suffered so that it would not work, and then, when my head did receive strength, I had no one here to prepare the matter. Fanny has not done scarcely anything for me for months. She has been suffering greatly with her head. She has now been using Mrs. Temple's remedy and is having relief, but I dare not put work upon her until she is better, for I need her labors so much. I need another literary worker. I can get enough typists generally, but not now. We have had to put all available help onto the land to prepare for the setting of our trees this week. If not set out this week, we must wait 1 year. I have been on the ground, using our two-horse team to go here and there and everywhere to save the time of the workers. We have pressed everyone into service we could command. Mr. Mosley came evening after the Sabbath. He is a gardener and furnished us the trees. He has a sample orchard at Orenbro, probably Orimba, 20 miles from here, and he will do his best to give us good fruit trees, for this will be a sample of what he can furnish for others. Every hand is busy today. The plow goes into the ground, and one follows the furrow to dig the holes and plant our trees of every variety. We have 3 acres cleared. The school planted 300 trees yesterday. This is only a quarter of what they have on hand to plant. The light given me from the Lord is that whatever land we occupy is to have the very best kind of care and to serve as an object lesson to the colonials of what the land will do if properly worked. So you see, this has been a special, very important period of time for us. All our implements have to be bought in Sydney. All our provisions come from Sydney, and all our corrugated iron for roofing of buildings, houses, and stables comes from Sydney. The rough lumber comes from the mills near us, from Morisset and Dora Creek, the other material from Sydney. Just at this time, everything is stirring to get a house that will shelter us in time of rain. I see we cannot safely depend on tents, and this we have to do now. July and August are midwinter with us, and now will come more moderate weather. We have had no rain, with the exception of about 4 slight showers, since February. The past 2 months have been a most favorable opportunity to do our work on the ground. Nothing was done before this. We shall now have an opportunity to show what can be done. Yesterday was Sunday. Mr. Mosley was on the ground with workers under him, telling them what to do. Mr. Smith, who has recently moved to Currumbong, is interested in the truth. He was on the ground receiving all the instruction possible from the lessons given by Mr. Mosley, the fruit grower. The keeper of the police station was on the ground, and both these lookers-on begged for Brother Rousseau to sell them a few trees, on Sunday, mind you, which he did. We are seeking to be friendly with all. The school working team was so heavily loaded with water for watering the trees, they could not get out on solid ground. Mr. Healy, a staunch Roman Catholic, saw the situation, put his horse onto the wagon, and drew it out. Yesterday, August 18, 1895, the first trees were planted on Avondale Tract. Today, August 19th, the first trees are to be set on Mrs. White's farm, an important occasion for us all. This means a great deal to me, Edson. The circumstance of the securing of the land rested with myself. There was so much doubt and perplexity as to the quality of the land. But the Lord had opened up the matter so clearly to me that when they discouragingly turned from the land, I said, "No? You will not take it? Then I will take it." And with this understanding, the land was purchased. Brethren Rousseau and Daniels backed as clear out of the matter as possible, but I knew the Spirit of God had wrought upon human minds. After the decision was made, unanimously, by several men to buy the land, then to back down and hinder its purchase was a great trial to me. Not that I had the land on my hands, but because they were not moving in the light God had been pleased to give me. And I knew their unbelief and unsanctified caution were putting us back 1 year.
After looking at many places and spending time and money for naught, they found more objections and unfavorable presentations on other lands than on this land, and the price asked for the only other tracts they would accept was $25,000 for one and $30,000 for another. And this land was purchased, 1,500 acres, for $4,500. Since we have had our most excellent meetings in Kurenbong since July 1st, when I have been speaking to the people under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Brother Rousseau acknowledged to me that he was now perfectly satisfied for himself, in his own mind, this was the place God designed the school should be established. There are advantages here that they could not have in any other location they had visited, and the land they had thought so bad was found, on working it, not to be the best land, but average. Good portions are adapted for fruit, especially peaches, apricots, nectarines, and other fruit, while other portions of land were favorable for vegetables. The 25 acres pronounced worthless because it was swampland would, they thought, prove the most valuable land. They have cut through drains, and a boat will float up one of the deep cuts, the produce and any boatloads of cargo directed to the school grounds, and they can raise vegetables on this land if properly worked. Now, Edson, you can judge what relief this gives me, after tugging and toiling in every way for 1 year to help them to discern the mind and will of God, and then, after abundant research, finding nothing on the whole as good as this, they accept it. The climate is the very best climate in Australia, and cannot be equaled by the New Zealand climate. And here we are, on 40 acres of land we have purchased, and now we are planting our orchard. Elder Daniels came on the land en route from Queensland to Melbourne. He called at Kurenbong and visited the land and expressed great pleasure at every part of the work that has been done in clearing and in ditching the swamp that is usually several feet under water. The dry season made it favorable for working, so it is being worked, and the soil is black and rich. Oh, I am so glad that my warfare is now over. About 26 hands, students, have worked a portion of the time felling trees and clearing the land, and then they have their studies. They say they can learn as much in the 6 hours of study as in giving their whole time to their books. More than this, the manual labor department is a success for the students health-wise. For this, we thank the Lord with heart and soul and voice. The students are rugged, and the feeble ones are becoming strong. Such wild young lads as Burra Corliss, under the discipline of labor, are becoming men. He is becoming a Christian, transformed in character. Oh, how thankful are his parents that he is blessed with this opportunity. Now I am writing these particulars, hoping that a similar work will be done in the southern field, and that soon there will be an interest aroused that will be sincere, earnest, and efficacious. We will try to help you to help others who need help. We will try to do our uttermost to help in this field and in other new fields, if possible. You have not asked me to help. You have set before me nothing of the things which I set before you in regard to the southern field that must be worked by earnest missionary efforts. There is no time to lose, but next mail, which shall leave here in 2 weeks, if the Lord will, I shall send matter as the Lord hath stirred my mind to write. It will come in letter form, copied on typewriter. Then the next mail, or the mail following, will, I sincerely hope, bring the matter in pamphlet form. All I have to say is, be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait on the Lord. We may ask of the human agents and not receive. We may ask of God, and he says, ye shall receive. John 16, verse 24. Therefore you know to whom to look. You know in whom to trust. You must not trust in man or make flesh your arm. Lean as heavily as you please upon the Mighty One who hath said, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and ye shall make peace with me. Isaiah 27, verse 5. Then wait and watch and pray and work, keeping your face constantly turned to the Sun of Righteousness. Let the bright beams from the face of Jesus shine into your hearts, to shine upon others through you. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 14, 16. We must lift up Jesus before the people. I know temptations come to you frequently, and a spirit of prayer comes upon me in your behalf, that you may make God your strength, your front guard, and your rear ward. Just as sure as you depend on man to be appreciated and to sustain you, you will be wholly disappointed. Your encouragement and sustaining will not come from the very best of men. The Lord has a lesson to teach you, to depend on Him alone, for He is your Redeemer. You are His property, His by creation and by redemption. The way of the Lord is to be chosen. The will of the Lord is to be your will. Jesus set a little child in the midst of the disciples and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, verse 3, 4. Follow Jesus, the pattern, in all things. The Holy One has given us rules for the guidance of all. These rules form the standard from which there can be no departure. The principles of holiness have yet to be learned daily, and then the will of God will become paramount. In God you can stand. In God you can make aggressive warfare, presenting the truth as it is in Jesus. Do not feel at all ashamed of the heart softening under the movings of the Holy Spirit. Let Jesus come in as he knocks for entrance, and then appreciate him. Rejoice in heart. Encourage a constant gratitude that while you felt that there was no arm to save, his arm brought salvation. His love was made apparent to you. Then, when in the full joy of that love you presented Jesus to others, the Holy Spirit was working through you, my dear son, to bless others. And then consider that it is the privilege of every one who receives the Spirit of truth to represent the truth in its simplicity, to reach the hearts of the perplexed, trembling souls who are really bewildered. Now, my son, walk humbly with God. The Lord sees every sorrow, every grief, every trial that besets the human soul, and He knows how to apply the balm. I am so sorry that men who want to be obedient to God put so much confidence in human sympathy and human help, which disappoint so often. But God, the living God, is unchangeable. He is the same kind, tender, pitiful, loving Savior today, yesterday, and forever. Satan is now working with all his might and leaving no means untried to unsettle minds because they see men of long experience make mistakes. But Jesus is faultless. We are to look and live. Numbers 21, verse 8. I write you these cautions because temptations will come to you in this line. Satan will leave no way untried to overthrow you. Again, I say, make God your entire trust. Pray, 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 pray in faith. Trust then the keeping of your soul to God. He will keep that which is committed to Him against that day. I must close this letter, and yet I hardly know how to stop. My heart is drawn out after you. In God, you can do valiantly. Tell it to the Lord in prayer. Talk it to the Lord by the way. Thee I seek. Thee I will follow. Thee I will serve. Under the shadow of thy wings will I abide. Command me as thou wilt. I will obey thy voice. Yield always to the heavenly guidance. When trials come, possess your soul in patience. Wait on the Lord and have one purpose in view, to seek the eternal good of all those with whom you are connected, holding fast your integrity in the strength of your God. He will redeem His promise. Your bread shall be provided. Your water shall be sure. This means not only temporal bread and water, but the bread and water of eternal life. Stand in God. Work under the sweet influence of His grace. The truth of God sanctifying the heart of the believer guides his life. We may stand firmly and assuredly. If you make the face of clay your dependence, you lean on a reed that has oft broken in your hand and will break. Trust fully, unwaveringly in God. He is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We may keep the conscience unsullied and in peace and quiet rest in God. My son, let us every day come into close relationship with God. Gladly would I have you, my children, with me. I have very little of Willie. He is not on the ground here, he is at Granville. I know not, when Emily goes, who will be my special companion. Your brother Willie is full of care and so pressed with his correspondence that I dare not ask him a question. I dare not write him, for he has no time and must not be interrupted. Brother and sister Star may come to Australia to work with me. Willie was to be with his mother. He might just about as well be in America for all the help I receive. When I have help, it must be one who will not be overwhelmed with responsibilities in his line. But the Lord will give me help, even if I get so little from my children. I would not call you here away from your field of duty. God help you. I have longed for your society, longed for the help you might be to me, but it was not in the providence of God that it should be, and I will continue to stand alone, trusting in God. Let not these words make you sad. Let them not in any way discourage you. I know my life is in the hands of Jesus Christ. I trust in him. I will now send this to the mail. In love, Mother.